Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Although we're separated by almost 2,000 years of history, we Christians today have something similar, have some of the same challenges and struggles as those Christians living in Thessalonica in the northern region of Greece, to whom the Apostle Paul wrote these words of our reading that we just heard. Those Thessalonian Christians were under great pressure and even persecution from the unbelieving world around them. At first, that pressure started with the Jews who were living in that city and in the surrounding areas who did not believe in Paul's message that he proclaimed to them that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior that God had promised to his people through his prophets for hundreds and thousands of years before that time. And out of jealousy and unbelief, those non-Christian Jews stirred up the local non-Jewish or Gentile population and the Roman authorities who were governing that area and that city. They stirred them up against the small Christian church there in Thessalonica. And so as a result, those new Christians faced great hardships in their personal lives. And they also faced difficulty in their worship life together as a community and in their joint mission together of spreading the gospel in their city, the mission that Jesus had given them to do. Life was not easy for those new Christians living in Thessalonica. And Paul knew and recognized this, and so he wanted to encourage them in the midst of their hardship and persecution that they were facing. And so right away, at the start of this letter, 2 Thessalonians, he begins by writing to them, acknowledging all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. Because of those external difficulties, those persecutions that they were facing, it appears from what Paul writes that many of the Thessalonian Christians fell prey to evil and wicked people, as he mentions in our reading, and to the attacks of the evil one, who is the devil. Some of those attacks, the Apostle Paul says, came from false teachers, people who either maliciously or just from their own mistaken understanding thought that Jesus' return on Judgment Day, the last day of the world, was going to come so soon that there was no point in continuing with their normal everyday lives. So these false teachers encouraged the people, misled the people to sell all or most of their earthly possessions, to quit their jobs, to abandon their earthly responsibilities because the end of the world was about to come and there was simply no point in wasting time doing those meaningless, menial, earthly tasks. And so as a result, those people who followed that bad advice and who therefore had nothing but a whole lot of time on their hands, began to fall into arguments and quarrels, even among their own brothers and sisters in the faith. Their spirituality was disturbed. Their minds were confused. Their lives certainly were disordered and disorderly. And worst of all, the gospel mission that Jesus had given to them of telling other people about his forgiveness and salvation, that gospel mission was frustrated and hindered. And so it was to this disturbed and spiritually confused group of relatively young Christians that Paul addressed these words of reassurance about their place in God's love, about their eternal comfort and hope through God's grace to them, about the importance of being persistent and waiting patiently for the Lord. So the Apostle Paul urges them to stand firm, to patiently endure all those hardships and difficulties that they were facing. Well, what made the Thessalonian Christians able to stand firm in the midst of those hardships that they faced, and what also makes us today able to stand firm as well, even in the midst of all the challenges and difficulties in life that and in our faith lives that we face today, what makes us able to do that is the assurance that God gives in his word of his love and his faithfulness for each and every single one of us. The most well-known passage, perhaps, in the Bible, the passage that is memory work for our confirmation students for this week, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God promises also through the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1 that he will carry on to completion the work that he has begun in us, the work of salvation. Having brought us to faith in Jesus as our Savior, he will strengthen our faith in Jesus through the gospel and his word, in baptism, in the Lord's Supper, until he brings us finally to our eternal home with him in heaven. So when we remember those promises of God's love and faithfulness, of his own work in our heart to strengthen our faith, to keep us in faith until he brings us to heaven, as we grow in that appreciation, that understanding of God's love, then we have greater motivation to be strong, to endure, to wait for the Lord, as the Apostle Paul encourages us. No matter what the outward circumstances of our lives may be. Martin Luther, the reformer in 16th century Germany, certainly faced some persecution and some hardship. And yet he wrote in a similar vein as the encouragement of the Apostle Paul in 1523. He encouraged all of God's people living at that time to love and laud God's goodness, both when they do not experience external comfort from God, just as well as when they do. They have utterly surrendered themselves so that they may say with a sincere heart and with truth, O Lord and benevolent Father, I desire neither to be nor not to be, neither to live nor to die, neither to know nor not to know anything, neither to have nor to lack anything, except your will be done. I do not want what is yours, I want you. Only love for God can really help us to overcome all the frustrations of this sin-filled earthly life, so that we truly wait for the Lord with confidence and hope in his promises. However, it's one thing to feel and to proclaim loving appreciation for God's love for us through Jesus, but it's quite a different thing to live out this love and thanksgiving to him in lives of dedicated service to him and towards other people. Because there are so many challenges and obstacles that get in the way of doing that in our lives. We look at Jesus, who lived out truly in every facet of his life his commitment to steadfast love for God the Father and for all of God's people. Jesus himself testified that he came not to do his own will, not to just live an easy life and to have all kinds of glory and accolades during his lifetime on earth, but he came to do the will of God the Father who sent him. And he didn't just say that. He put his words into action. He humbled himself. He became obedient to death, even death on a cross, the most excruciating and humiliating way of capital punishment and torture and execution at that time. And Jesus also calls on his followers to come, follow me. He says to us, to all who would follow him in faith, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me, because night is coming when no one can work. So we see this steadfast persistence in following Jesus, in spite of all the opposition and persecution that we face in our lives. We see that played out in the lives of the apostles. We only have part of the lives of those first 12 or 13 apostles recorded for us in the New Testament. But we also have very reliable early Christian church tradition that fills out some of the story of the remainder of their ministries and lives. And so in the New Testament, we see the Apostle Peter, who in spite of the threat of torture and even execution in the immediate days following Jesus' ascension into heaven, he and the other disciples are right there in the temple courts, in public in Jerusalem, proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Savior, right under the noses of those same jealous, unbelieving Jewish religious leaders who were responsible for bringing Jesus to his torturous and untimely death. And then we see that continue throughout Peter's life until the point in time where he was arrested and put to death in another terrible fashion in Rome later in his life. Recorded for us in the book of Acts in the New Testament, we see about the Apostle James, who was put to death by the sword by King Herod Agrippa I, just 10 years after Jesus' crucifixion. James's brother John continued to follow Jesus even when he was sentenced to solitary exile on a remote island in his old age. The Apostle Paul witnessed boldly for Jesus throughout the Mediterranean world and in Turkey and in Greece and in Italy and perhaps even as far as Spain, even though he confronted severe persecution during his ministry. Having been flogged within an inch of his life numerous times, stoned and left for dead. And then finally, when he was executed also in Rome. And according to that reliable early church tradition, all of the other apostles besides the Apostle John were all killed for their faith and for their ministries of proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Savior of the whole world. Hundreds of millions of other believers after them have joined them in following Jesus in spite of all the hardships and persecution and opposition that they faced from the sin-filled world around them. Included among that number are our own forefathers and foremothers in the faith, including those who founded this very congregation. Those who gave offerings of thanks and love to God for his love for them, offerings that were used for the building of this worship space, so that they and their children's children and many generations after them, so that people from many nations and races could gather together here in this place to hear and learn God's word together, to worship and pray to God together, week after week, to join in celebrating God's gift of baptism, to join in receiving the Lord's Supper together for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith in Jesus our Savior, and to join together in reaching out into our community with this good news of salvation through Jesus, so that more and more people would come to know and to believe in Jesus their Savior, and to have that same hope, that same certainty of eternal life with God in heaven through Jesus. To be confident that one day God will bring us to join with that assembly of saints triumphant before his throne in heaven. And so together, in the same pattern of faith and of dedication, those forefathers and foremothers of the faith, let's join with them in that bold and persistent faith and steadfastly waiting for the Lord. Not sitting idly by as some of those Christians in early Thessalonia were tempted to do, but actively engaging and working to carry out that great commission that Jesus has given to us, to go and to tell the good news of his love and salvation, the eternal, certain future with him in heaven that we have as a result. As brothers and sisters through faith in Jesus, we work together, hand in hand, arm in arm for this mission, looking forward to that day, finally, when our Savior will call us to our eternal home of heaven with him, where we will enjoy that perfect future with all of our Christian family from all ages and times and places there before the throne of our Savior Jesus.